Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about whether or not it is safe to squat with your knees past your toes.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure you knew about my free online course on the Introduction to Performance Therapy and Training. If you want to learn how to get started optimizing and enhancing performance, this is the course for you. Head to MikeReinold.com/performance to sign up today. Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. I am here with the crew from Champion PT and Performance up in Boston. Dave Tilley, Dan Pope, Lenny Macrina, Lisa Russell, Mike Scaduto, the physical therapist here at Champion, answering all your amazing questions. Anything you guys want to talk about, keep asking away. And you know what, guys? We have a great question today. We have another great question today. This one is from Mike from Staunton, Virginia, I believe is I'm saying that well. But Mike has a great question, and I think that, I don't know, this is a fun one online. I think this will be a good episode. We'll see what we come up with. But Mike says, in lifting, you're told to not let your knees go past your toes because it puts additional stress on the knees. And his question is, does this really matter? Would you do deep squats with a heel lift to compensate? What would you do? So let's knock out that last part and then we'll go to the rest of it. But I think if you put your heels up, does that make your toes go forward more?
Yeah, it's going to send those
forward.
All right, so we'll disregard that part. But let's say, do we let the knees pass the toes when squatting? And really, if anyone can start with this, I'd love to hear this. Like, where'd this come from? Like, what is the, I don't want to say it's like one of those old wives tales that like continue to be like, always said, like, you know, if you shave, it grows in twice as thick. I remember you could tell my personality growing up. I remember when I was like 16, I'm starting to shave and like my grandmother, like old Italian grandmother, like, you know, full Italian, she's like, oh, you know, be careful. It's going to get twice as thick. And I'm like, well, grandma, doesn't that mean like in a few years, then I just have like one big hair if it just got twice as thick every time I shave? I'm like, that doesn't seem to make sense, right? So I always had an inquisitive mind, I guess. But to me, that seems like one of those old wives tales that probably started with like good intention. But I don't know. I'm going to argue and I'm going to say this, and I hopefully maybe somebody in the crowd here has some of the history on this, that I don't think anybody said if your knee passes your toes by a millimeter, your leg's going to explode. Right. Like, I think like we've gotten this carried away that like someone was like, you can't do that at all. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it seems like one of those things like to be like a nice conservative modification for training is like, well, don't let your knees pass your toes. But I don't know. Maybe somebody was hardcore and would like get out like a whip back in Roman times and whip the person if they're like knee. I don't know. Game of Thrones times. Wait, is Game of Thrones in the future?
No.
Who knows?
The world, man.
Star Wars is in the future. All right. Anyway, sorry. All right. I'm going to stop rambling because I've ruined the episode. Dan, why don't you save this episode?
Man, there's a lot to this right here. In terms of history, I think there's a little history in terms of the deep squat, you know. I think there's research in Asian populations that squat deep for hours and hours every day, and that does actually lead to more knee OA. But in terms of like the knee going past the toe, I don't know the history of that and how it got vilified. I guess short answer to this, knees past the toe is not a bad thing. I think this question might be a result of what's going on in terms of social media, right? Obviously a lot of trainers will say like, don't let your knees go past your toe. It's kind of dogma. I'm not trying to hate on trainers, obviously. I think for folks with knee pain, pushing the knees back is a great modification for those folks, you know. But what I will say is that doing deep, deep squats, like you'll find in Olympic weightlifting, where the knee certainly goes back to the toe or beyond the toe. And if you're looking at elite male Olympic weightlifters, they have higher rates of patellofemoral osteoarthritis than a general population, you know? So I guess what I'm getting at is it's not bad to have your knees go past your toes, but it definitely increases the stress within the patellofemoral joint and also on the patellar tendon, on the quadricep tendon. It's not necessarily a gray statement where knees beyond the toes is good or bad. It just changes the stress and it can cause problems for long term if we do too much of it, right? And I'm talking elite level Olympic weightlifting. I'm not talking about the average person. But for the majority of folks, it's probably okay. But I think what you see is two ends of the spectrum. One side that's very anti-knees past the toes because it causes a problem. Then you have the other end of the spectrum. They're doing pistol squats on their toes and saying it's good for the knee, you know? And there's probably somewhere in between that's, you know, smart, right?
What do you guys think of that? Does that work on Zoom, by the way? Is it backwards?
Yeah, I like it.
So I see it. This is to me what the biomechanical equation, this is for our YouTube viewers, right? That if you look at stress over time, it's safe. And then the second you hit your knees, it goes up to, you're about to break, right? It's just like, boom, boom, boom. You're about to break. Like, people have to understand biomechanically, just the deeper you go, the more stressful it is, right? The deeper you go, it just gets more stressful over time. It's called compressive force. It's called resultant force vectors, right? I mean, this is just like basic biomechanics that the deeper you go, the more patellofemoral compression force you're going to have, the more probably posterior tibial femoral force on your meniscus and everything you're going to have the deeper you go. So I, you know, to Dan's point here is like, you know, some people like will say then anything within a range is acceptable. It's like, well, maybe it just like depends on the person, right? So I think the first thing we have to understand when we're trying to tackle this, this concept here is that stress, it happens with everything, right? Stress happens with every depth of a squat. If it's teeny little bit or super deep, it just changes throughout the range of motion. You just have to accept that a little bit. I think somebody just made an arbitrary kind of statement because it was pretty easy about the knees that like you're starting to get deep, it's starting to get more stressful, right? I don't think it's anything more than that, but all right. So based on that, let me ask a question to you guys then. So does any of this matter? So, okay, stress goes up, but is stress good sometimes? Is stress bad sometimes? How do we determine what's a good stress and a bad stress, and specifically to the squat discussion?
I mean, I can share here. I mean, I think you guys you're saying it really well, is it's all about optimal dosage. I think we're learning that quite a bit with the research on a lot of these joints and a lot of these different kind of like rules of thumb we have is, I think one thing that people forget is if you don't allow the knees to move too far, the stress of 135 pounds in a back squat still has to go somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just because it's not on your knee doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I think the problem that people have is they don't realize that stress can shift elsewhere and cause injuries, or not injuries, but cause pain or discomfort elsewhere. Like, say for the extreme examples, take someone who has no tibial angle at all and they pretty much do a weighted 135 good morning. Like, that's a lot of stress on their back. You know what I mean? And so It's all about, I think the rule of thumb came up because people were just like putting a lot of the pressure onto their knees and they weren't thinking about the hip and the low back and what they can do. And so when you talk about optimal dose of stress, it's like, well, it's, you're trying to get a training effect. You're trying to get something that makes you maybe sore in a good way, like muscularly, and doesn't have a negative impact on your performance or your joints themselves long-term in terms of not being able to train the next day or having some pain in your daily life. So we try to always tell people that it's about, you know, finding that optimal dose and how you respond. You know, if you did 135 for a 5x5 and your knees were really sore the next day, maybe that's too much for you, right? For somebody else, for Dan, he could probably do that, roll out of bed and do that no problem and have no issues at all. It's all about what's his history and what's kind of the goal that you're trying to get to.
So Dan, is too much stress bad?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think just to add with Dave, and I think this is something that happens oftentimes as a trainer, you know, and if you're a trainer, this is kind of occurring to you, make sure you link up with a good physical therapist to just kind of tag team the people that you're working with. But if you have someone with knee pain, and like when I was a personal trainer, if someone has knee pain, it was so easy just to say, hey, don't let your knee come forward, and their pain would just like disappear, right? So if we look at some conditions, and I think like, I don't know, patellar tendinopathy comes to mind, right? the way we get better with patellar tendinopathy is we load the quad. We do step downs. We have the knee go past the toe over and over and over again, and it builds strength and it gets better over the course of time, you know? So I think it's important to understand is that, you know, for someone who has like a history of patellar tendinopathy, if we have them sit back in the squat all the time, they may not have pain in the squat anymore, but are we actually building the strength of that tendon to the point where we can handle things like jumping and their sport and whatever else it is? So it's going to really depend on that individual and what they're trying to get back to. Like you might have someone who's 50 years old with patellar tendinopathy and just have them squat with their hips back and never have their knees cross their toes and they're fine for the rest of their life, right? It doesn't matter. So like going back to your point, it really completely depends on the individual, what they're trying to get back to, you know, what their goals are, what their pain level is currently, just trying to meet them where they are and progress them towards their goals over time.
Yeah. So it seems like the deeper you go, the more stressful it is. And everybody has a different capacity for stress, right? And I think that's what it comes down to. Now, again, I think what people are then going to say in the comment section of this episode, right, or you're trying to go, is that, well, in order to build more capacity, you have to go deeper to be able to handle going deeper in the future. Anyone want to talk about that real quick? Because I just know that someone's going to say that.
You need it, you know? Yeah, I mean, do you need that? Yeah. If you have to do pistols, you know, if you have to do really challenging, heavy loaded squats, super deep, definitely. If you're an Olympic weightlifter, of course you have to be able to handle that. But if you're a regular person, I don't think so, you know, or maybe if you really want to as a regular person, then go for it. But I do think that to your point, Mike, you're putting more stress on that structure. You know, we know that athletes that stress a particular structure are more likely to have things like tendinopathies over the course of time. So you might be increasing your risk lightly of having pain by doing that. You know, and if it's really important to you, go for it. But if it's not, I don't know. I don't think you need it.
I think the perfect example here is Dan and I have a mutual friend who she trains for the like national level sprinting and another sport as well. And when we were helping her first at one of the camps we were at, if she squats deeper than parallel, right? Or she does deadlifting with a hex bar and conventional, does not feel great for her, right? You think about her sport, she lives above parallel sprinting as fast as she can for 400 meters, right? Does she need to go super, super deep? Why can't she just do a trap bar deadlift and box squat or something else like that, or do single leg versions and her back feels way better, her hips feel way better, she has a pelvic injury and stuff like that. It's like, what's the goal? You know, what's the end goal of doing that? Like, Katie. So like for her, she's going to sprint for her life. That's her sport. She likes to do that. She doesn't need to do super, super deep front squats. You know what I mean? So just an example there that I think's helpful.
I think that makes sense. So here's, I think one other topic I want to talk about here. EMG studies show that the quadriceps is more active the deeper you go. So people are going to say that you need to go deep to get strong.
Dan? Yes, but what's the trade-off between trade-off
no.
and injury?
Yeah, so going deeper gets more EMG activity, so you need to go deep to get the quad strong. Discuss.
I think you can get your EMG to go up by just adding more weight, like do a knee extension and put some more weight on there, right? Or, you know, do an upright squat and add some more weight to the bar. You're going to get more EMG, you know, without having to go deep, you know? I mean, there's a lot of ways to add stress, right? You can add speed, you can add load. You can even do things like BFR to maybe get that same type of stimulus to the muscle without potentially causing stress to the joint if you really want to. So it really depends, right, on what you're trying to get back to. If you need to get back to high speeds, high loads, then maybe you do need to try to train that. But if you don't, again, we don't need to do that, I don't think. We're trying to build the capacity that the individual needs, right? So if someone is making that argument, like we need to build more capacity, be like, do you need that much capacity of the knee, or are you just increasing the risk of hurting because you're giving them too much, you know?
Right. And I'm pretty sure there's studies out there. I don't have the reference on me. I'm sure there's studies out there that say that deep squats versus non-deep squats. So we'll just call them partial squats. I don't even know what that means, but deep versus partial, you get less strength gains. Right. But I'm pretty sure that the only variable that they manipulated was depth. So therefore they kept the resistance the same. Well, of course, right? So like if there's one thing we learned from the hip thrust, which, you know, great exercise, Brett Contreras kind of helps like really popularize this, right? The hip thrust, it's a weighted bridge, right? it's like kind of what it is. Like you lay on the ground. I mean, you're getting the last terminal range of hip extension, like 30, 40, 45 degrees, and you get huge hypertrophy of the glutes by doing that little bit. Maybe you don't have to conventional deadlift, for example, to get that hypertrophy of the quad. So, but you can like double, triple your weight with a hip thrust than you can when you deadlift. So maybe it's the same thing with squat. Maybe if you just go down to like a little bit above parallel, but you double the load, then I think you're going to get stronger, right? I mean, again, this just seems like, you know, common sense to me to an extent. Am I wrong? Does anybody like think that that's off?
I think you're right. And that's where a lot of us PTs, including myself earlier in my career, fail is progressively loading people. I don't even know if we have the equipment in the general PT clinic to do half this stuff. So I think that's an issue too, is when you have like 10 pound dumbbells, and that's it. And then like some TheraBands or whatever. A lot of clinics are expanding and they're realizing the popularity and or the necessity of having, you know, more weights in the clinic. But if you don't have this stuff, then you don't. You're doing, what's that Chuck Norris thing where you slide up and down the, it was a gimmick.
The total gym.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean, you just like if that's all you're doing, then yeah, you're not going to load the joint. But like, I think using common sense and appropriately loading people and increasing the resistance on the muscle is, you know, it's common sense stuff, but it's hugely important. We just don't have that capacity in a lot of our PT clinics. Fortunately, we do at Champion. So
I'm seeing it right now, a new Total Gym with a huge LCD display where Chuck Norris works out with you. Oh. Right? So it's the Peloton. Is Chuck Norris still alive?
I think so. He just died, by the way. But
whoa. Did he?
I think so. I could be spreading fake news. But
no, that would
be. Oh, man. All right. So.
I didn't think he could die.
It's just, right. It's I don't think it's been that tough.
Let's just assume you it just take back the last 30 seconds of this podcast. Just ignore us all around. But anyway. So look, to summarize, is squatting past your toes evil? No. Does it put more stress on it? Yes. The deeper you go, there's more stress. There's probably more EMG, but there's probably other ways you can also gain that strength. So I don't know who vilified that and who made the knee like the cutoff. I'm sure it was with really good intention, right? But it was just like anything else. There's like some catchphrases, right? With us, like rotator cuff, like it was before, it was like, hey, you can't go more than 5 pounds or your deltoid takes over. I don't know who came up with that, right? Again, that makes absolutely no sense. So there's a lot of things that just don't make sense. But like, let's take a step back. Let's not get angry. Let's not go on like a Twitter rant or an Instagram like rant where we're like saying, you know, how the whole world is the PT profession's about to break because, you know, because we say things like that. And let's just realize that it's all a biomechanical equation. Right? It's an equation of stress. Right. And we just intelligently apply stress. I think that's a big part of our role, is helping people navigate their ability to add stress. Right. And so I think if more than anything else, physical therapy works on stress and capacity more than anything else. And it's our job to help you determine if it's too much stress, too little stress, and vice versa. Right. And that's all it comes down to. So go easy in the comments section, especially with the Chuck Norris stuff. We apologize, Chuck, and everybody else. I'm going to stop talking about
it. It seems he's still alive. I did fact check that. I'm sorry for saying that.
Spreading rumors.
Thank you, Chuck, to all you've done. But anyway, so I apologize. But anyway, great episode, I think. I can't tell. I think that was a good episode. But anyway, thanks, everybody. And I'm just going to say we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to mikereinold.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at mikereinold.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.